Some of it was hard to see, though, because it wasn't just excitement that made the binoculars tremble. He was dressed warmly now, in layers of Dandolo's Hume clothes, but he was still cold, except when he was hot. And either way, hot or cold, he trembled like a toothless old gaffer in a chimney corner. This state of affairs had been growing gradually worse since he left Joe Collins's house behind. Fever roared in his bones like a blizzard wind. Mordred was no longer a hungry, for Mordred no longer had an appetite. But Mordred was a sick. A sick. A sick. In truth, he was afraid Mordred might be a dying. Nonetheless, he watched Roland's party with great interest. And once the fire was replenished, he saw even better, saw the door come into being, although he could not read the symbols there writ upon. He understood that the artist had somehow drawn it into being. What a godlike talent that was. Mordred longed to eat him just on the chance such a talent might be transmittable. He doubted it. The spiritual side of cannibalism was greatly overrated. But what harm in seeing for oneself? He watched their palaver. He saw, and also understood, her plea to the artist and the mutt, her whining entreaties. Come with me so I don't have to go alone. Come on, be a sport. In fact, be a couple of sports. Oh, boo-hoo. And rejoiced in her sorrow and fury when the plea was rejected by both boy and beast. Mordred rejoiced even though he knew it would make his own job harder. A little harder, anyway. How much trouble could a mute young man and a billy bumbler really give him, once he changed his shape and made his move? For a moment he thought that, in her anger, she might shoot old White Daddy with his own gun, and that Mordred did not want.